practice a lot harder, actually, after my mom left, because you sort of just rely on them, and actually you don't think about taking responsibility for yourself. So when my mom is not supervising me or something like that, I just find ways to not do what she asked me to do. But the day that I was facing my apartment alone, I suddenly realized that it's all on me, and I need to take responsibility for myself.
Hao Qinzheng is a young Chinese-American pianist. He first toured as a concert pianist when he was just 11 years old in his homeland of China. Then he came to the United States to study at the Curtis Institute with Gary Groffman. His mom came for a while, but when her visa ran out, he had to do it on his own. And it turned out okay. He went on to be one of the youngest winners of the International Van Cliburn competition. He's just released his second recording. It's featured this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julia Macher. I know that you recently were just part of the Philadelphia Orchestra's Asia tour, which wrapped up in May. And one of the cities where you performed was your home, which is where you were born. And I'm wondering, why was it important to you to be part of this cultural exchange, if you will?
Well, first of all, I'm really honored to be invited as a soloist for the Philadelphia Orchestra China Tour. And Philly is my second home, because I've been here for as much as 13, 14 years. So after Shanghai, it's really my second home. So to be able to perform with the orchestra that I basically grew up listening to is a really personal feeling. And to have them, have me on tour with them in China is more than that. And especially that this year is the 40th anniversary of the U.S.-China exchange diplomacy relationship. And to be able to experience that, I think especially under this current political, economic, you know, climate between the two countries, I think that means a lot to me, and especially in Shanghai, because that's where I grew up. And so when I was on stage in the Oriental Arts Center in Shanghai with the Philadelphia Orchestra performing the Rachmaninoff Paganini Rhapsody, which is a piece that the orchestra is specifically known for, having given the premiere of the work with Rachmaninoff as the soloist. And I think it's really a personal experience. To me, it feels that, why, I think music knows really no home, because it is our universal home, so it doesn't matter where we come from.
Your very first professional performance was also in Shanghai. No surprise there, but maybe the surprise is you were just 5 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And then you went on to tour China when you were 11, eventually mm-hmm. making your way to the U.S., mm-hmm. and that's probably where you then landed in Philadelphia at the Curtis Institute, is that right?
Yes.
And I'm curious, I'm thinking again about a cultural exchange, because that kind of is what had to happen as you were coming to a new country where you were still learning the language. And then your mother, who I believe came with you, her visa expired. So then you were kind of on your own.
Yeah.
How did you manage that?
Well, it was tough for me, especially that prior to coming to the States, I've never lived actually alone. I was sort of a mommy's boy. I never lived alone, and as a boy living for the first time alone, but actually in a foreign country where you just barely get to know stuff, I think it's a lot of difficulties. But I think the most is the psychological. I mean, how do you deal with the loneliness of living in the States? And So I try to make friends with the rats in my apartment. And I think it taught me a lot of the lesson of growing up.
Was there a turning point for you where you realized, oh, I'm doing this, I'm managing on my own?
I think basically started the day when my mom left, and I went to the airport to say goodbye to her, and then I came home, and I was facing this apartment all by myself.
Except for the rats, of course.
And that's basically the day. I think I somehow practice a lot harder, actually, after my mom left, because you sort of just rely on them, and actually you don't think about taking responsibility for yourself. So when my mom is not supervising me or something like that, I just find ways to not do what she asked me to do. But the day that I was facing my apartment alone, I suddenly realized that it's all on me and I need to take responsibility for myself.
You studied with Gary Groffman, and I know he encouraged you to develop your own style at the piano. How would you describe your style?
Well, I think I'm by nature a pretty introverted person, and I like to spend a lot of time thinking just different random thoughts to myself, and so I'm more naturally drawn to music that has some sort of introspective nature and sort of can inspire some kind of thoughtfulness when I'm listening to it. I love to explore different styles, and I try to program all my music in a variety of genres, but I think the music that I feel, not necessarily I feel the best at playing, because I think that's up to the audience to decide, but for me personally, what draws me the closest to are works like late Beethoven or late Schubert, late Brahms.
Were you studying with Gary Groffman when you were preparing for the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition in 2009?
Yes, I was.
And so what did he do or encourage you to do that helped you to basically come out on top? I mean, you were just 19 years old, and you became a gold medalist and a first prize winner that year, which was really one of the youngest winners in the history of the competition. What did he do that, or maybe it was just you that decided you wanted it badly enough? I don't know. How does one prepare for that? And I would imagine there's a lot of psychological preparation, too.
Well, I think, I will spread this into two parts. First, Mr. Groffman, I think not just for the preparation for competition, but I think in general, through my years of learning with him, I think what's made him so unique as a teacher is that he doesn't try to make all his students sort of shadows of himself or copycats of himself. In other words, he doesn't treat students as students, but more as individual artists that's actually equal to him. And so that way, the way he approaches students is trying to listen to what they have to say, to respect their opinion as much as he respects his own. And I think that's really unique, because most teachers can't help but to not only teach the students the way that they think a work should be played, can help to think that they are superior to the students, which is natural human nature, but he really thinks otherwise. And that's why all his students are so different from one another. Me and Long Long, Yu Zhewang, they're all very different from one another. And that's because his main aim is trying to discover what the student has to say personally. And everything else comes secondary. I think psychologically, since that you mentioned the psychology, I think competition is meant to sort of put you on the spotlight and give you the most stressed atmosphere. I really didn't do much preparation. I think I was just lucky. I didn't attend a lot of competitions, but the competition that I happened to attend, I was the youngest competitor in that in those competitions. And I really just thought to myself, you know, I'm here to learn. I've got nothing to lose. I'm the youngest and the most inexperienced. And it's okay if I lose. So I don't have to worry about, you know, the results. I'm here to learn from people who are older and much more experienced than me, and to listen to what they're playing and what I can learn from them. And I'm just here trying to see all different rounds of performances as basically concerts, not competitions.
You've just recently released your second recording, and it features a very challenging piano concerto, Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 2. What makes this work so challenging?
Well, first of all, it's not only known for, you know, the most technically challenging piano concertos that we all know. And, you know, with the crazy cadenza in the first movement. The nerve-wracking second movement. Grotesque finale. What people sometimes overlooked is that underneath these kind of surface of bombastic sonorities and this overwhelming virtuosity is a lot of intricacies and a lot of nuanced imagination. You have to really not only admire his sense of, you know, constructing a giant structure and narrative, but also just the imagination, the sarcasm, and the wit. So in a way, it is not what people think of as not challenging, but kind of vulgar piece, but it's actually so refined and nuanced.
What did you like about working with the Lahti Symphony Orchestra?
It's a Finnish orchestra, and we know that there is a lot of cultural linkage between Russian and Finnish culture. So I think as a top-rate Finnish orchestra, they naturally get this sense of the Russian imagination and the sense of grandness.
Did it make a difference having a Russian conductor at the helm?
Of course, of course. He certainly gave me a lot of... We certainly had a very interesting and helpful discussion to the recording when we were when he was giving me, you know, advices on how he was thinking about this piece, because it's not just my recording. I mean, it's really a cooperation. That's how I think of it.
What did Dima Slobodenyuk have to say? What were some of his ideas that you came to agree upon?
Oh, I think one of the ideas that stick out in my memory was the Tchaikovsky concerto. And most recordings tend to approach this piece with a very heavy spirit and just really focus on the general impression of Tchaikovsky that his works has to be very dreadful, like it's very heavy, it's a lot of gravity. But what he was saying, and I totally agreed, was that actually this piece is very, it might be heavy on texture and sonority, but it's very light in spirit, especially when you look at the manuscript of the first movement of the Tchaikovsky concerto. The beginning chords, we all know, it's, you know, it's one of the most iconic passages in music history, with the melody in the orchestra. Accompanied by the heavy chords of the piano. Boom, 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 and the melody goes. We sort of think of it as, you know, a very heavy statement. But in the manuscript, for instance, it was just played with arpeggios. So you're actually not playing the chords together, but you're sliding them sort of in like a harp. So it totally conveys a different nature. It shows that what Tchaikovsky was originally intending, and overall it's just very light and brilliant in spirit.
Hao Qin Zheng, a young Chinese-American pianist who's making a difference in this world. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. If you're enjoying new classical tracks, the absolute best thing you can do for the show is to tell somebody about it. Help spread the word, and then take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. I'm Julia Mocker.